I'm an educator. No matter what your vocation is, everybody needs the help of the Holy Spirit. Look at your neighbor right now. Tell him you need him. You need him. You need him. If you are going to live a successful Christian life, you're going to need the help of the Holy Spirit. And especially those of us who are saved and love the Lord. Because watch this. You can be saved, but if the Holy Spirit has not been unleashed in your life, you don't have the power to live like the book says we can live. I wish y'all was feeling this morning, because you can be saved and love the Lord, but never walk in a position of holiness if the Holy Spirit does not come and produce holiness on the inside of you. Because you understand, watch this, living a godly life is not something we can do with our natural strength. Living a godly life, sir, is not something you can do with mind power or willpower or just by coming to church every week. But the church has to get down on the inside of you. That there has to be a change. There has to be somebody that is awakened on the inside of you that can cause the church to come up out of you. Oh, Lord, look at your neighbor and say, I got that power. I got that power. Yeah, yeah, because you have to release it. Listen, Jesus is for the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But the Holy Spirit is for the saints. Oh, y'all ain't get that. Oh, yeah, Jesus is for the world. He is the answer to the drama that's going on in the world. But the answer for you as a Christian, living a life of power, living a life of advantage, the Holy Spirit is that answer. And my assignment is to make sure that you are crystal clear on the purpose of God giving us the Holy Spirit. See, the purpose of God giving us the Holy Spirit, if you're taking notes, is twofold. As salvation, he gives us the Holy Spirit, number one, so that we can live a godly life. A godly life. That you cannot live a godly life aside from the Holy Spirit. That's why we see people who get saved, and 3 weeks later they got to come back down to the altar. Then 4 more weeks later, they got to come back down to the altar. No, you got saved the first time, but the problem is you didn't open up your life to allow the Holy Spirit to begin to work on you. See, the problem is Jesus says, you just got to abide in me and let my word abide in you. Watch this. And what happens is your job, as we talked about Wednesday, is just to abide. But his job now, if you stay connected, is to produce this godliness on the inside of you. It's not your job to control your tongue. But your job is to make sure that I'm staying before the Lord. And God, the power of the Holy Spirit is going to control my tongue. Because for some of us, going off is just natural to us. Some of y'all can wake up out of cold sleep and go clean off. Why? Because it's natural. But when the Holy Spirit is on the inside of you, he'll keep your tongue. Oh, man, I wish I had some folks in here that know about God keeping your tongue. He'll keep your tongue. He'll tell you, bet not say a word. He'll speak to you and guide you into all unrighteousness. Oh, God. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. See, he comes twofold. First of all, that you can live a godly life, but God don't want you to be godly, but then you're not fulfilled. So he wants you to live a godly life, but then the Holy Spirit also comes that you can live a fruitful life. Because God is not concerned about you being godly, but you're so miserable. Did you hear that? He's not overly concerned about you not wearing makeup, but you're miserable. And parenthetically, I want to let y'all know, for those of you who miss Bible study, wearing makeup don't mean that you're unholy. That some of us wearing makeup is a blessing. Look at your name and say, it's a blessing, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. It's God. See, true godliness and true fruitfulness or fulfillment cannot be accomplished with your natural strength. And perhaps there's somebody in this room right now that's living life unfulfilled. You're living life with your natural strength. You save. You love the Lord. But you have not come to know the person that is living on the inside of you. You have not come to know what that person likes. You have not come to know the power that person contains. Because the same power that resides in heaven, God gives us the aid of the Holy Spirit that same power can live in us. Can I tell you something? There's no depression in heaven. There's no toil. There's no strain in heaven. So therefore, if thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth in me as it is in heaven, then there should be no depression in me. Because I should have somebody on the inside of me that is able to drive depression out. See, you see, what happens is we live, my brothers and sisters, in a very secular society. And we have to be very conscious because we live in a society that has very little regard for spiritual things. We have become so diluted spiritually that we think that the things of the spirit are foolishness. That's what it is. We think, oh, that's just gibberish. That's just them playing church. But many of the saints, and what we're doing is we're curtailing our language to reflect this depletion of spiritual values in the church. You won't even give the Holy Spirit credit for the stuff he does in your life. That when you knew you didn't have the power to get through it, you knew you didn't have the strength to get through it, you try to take the glory and you try to take all the credit from God when it was the Holy Spirit that was on the inside of you. Baby, you couldn't survive that divorce with willpower. You couldn't survive that divorce talking about it's all good. No, it was somebody that was on the inside of you that kept you when you didn't even want to keep yourself. Some of you, you should have blew your brains out, but the Holy Spirit kept you. The Holy Spirit was there to encourage you. You. And see, we don't even give him the credit that he is due. See, this current generation has probably heard less teaching in the church on spiritual matters than any other generation. Because now in the church, it's not even popular to teach on the power of the Holy Spirit. The person of the Holy Spirit. It's not, now we got to come in and give you a message on 10 plans on how to get rich. Now we got to be faith coaches. Now we got to tell you how to fulfill your destiny. And all of that is a part of it. But my uncle told me one time, he said, son, if you knock the ball out the park but miss first base, they're going to call you out at home plate. And the problem is, watch this, we're teaching people how to knock the ball out the park, but we're not teaching them how to step on first base. And the first base is to recognize your Lord and your Savior. Second base is to recognize, watch this, the Holy Spirit that's living on the inside of you. Third base is to release him that he can perform his work in your life. And then home plate is when you get your reward for doing what God has called you to do. And so consequently, everything we do as a society, the decisions that we make, the choices that we choose, are made on natural wisdom. They're made on natural strength. They're made on natural understanding. There's no trying of the spirit, as old folks used to say. There's no leaning, watch this, on the guidance of the Holy Spirit living in you. There's no weighing of a matter in our spirit before we act. See, this degradation of the Holy Spirit's role in our life has caused us, many of us as saints, who are supposed to be living victorious lives, who are supposed to be living lives of conquerors, has caused us to live defeated. This is why some of us, with all of our education, with all of your learning, with all of your technology at our fingertips, are living less fulfilled lives than our grandparents and great-grandparents did, because even though they didn't have all the physical accoutrements of life, didn't have all of the opportunities that many of us have had in our lives, that they had spiritual power that we tend to disdain. They had something that we didn't have. No, they didn't drive the cars that you drive. They didn't live where you live at. They didn't have the education that you had, but they knew something about the Holy Spirit, and that caused them to survive. Oh, God. And see, let me tell you something. When you don't have, hallelujah, the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you, watch this now, what happens is you become a spiritual brat. That when certain things happen in your life, you start crying, you start throwing a fit, you start throwing a temper tantrum, that we cry because of a recession. But your great-grandmother, her whole life was a recession. We cry because we can't get a new pair of shoes, but they used to have the same pair of shoes for 5 and 6 years and still be content. You know why? Because they didn't have everything we had, but they had what we did not have. They had the Holy Spirit that made them content with that which they had. See, they understood something. Watch this. With an 8th grade education, they were business leaders. With 8th grade education, they were community activists. With 8th grade education, they were parent children and didn't have to go get no counseling. They didn't have to go down there and tell somebody how to get little Johnny out of bed in the morning. Why? Because they had enough God on the inside of them and enough word to say, if you beat him, he shall not die. And so they understood, watch this, this thing that we got to get today, that if you're going to have power, they understood this one scripture, greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. See, and my brothers and sisters, when this disconnect or this ignoring of the Holy Spirit who is given to us so that we can have an advantage comes, it robs us of our ability to live godly and our ability to live fruitful. The Holy Spirit comes to do a work in us that we cannot do for ourselves. Touch your neighbor right now and ask him, got power? Yeah, you dealing with something right now? You got power? You got power? See, the problem is many of us have the power in us, but the power needs to be unleashed. This is what Paul told Timothy. He says, I am persuaded that it was in your grandmother. It was in your mother. He says, and it's also in you, but you got to stir up that gift. You got to release that spiritual legacy that's in you. Golly. He says, and when you do that, you're going to receive power to live with an advantage. See, the problem is that many of us, some of the stuff that's causing you to be depressed and oppressed, if you would unleash the Holy Spirit, that's the power that you can press through stuff like that. The reason, when you don't have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you, oh God, stuff that you should be conquering conquers you. Stuff that you should have victory over causes you to be defeated. Because you won't allow the Holy Spirit to move in your life. See, when the Holy Spirit's power is at work in you, he comes to do 3 things. I give you this and we pray. He comes to do 3 things. Number one, he comes to enlighten your mind. Everybody say, enlighten your mind. Watch this. Enlighten your mind. I ain't gonna let y'all make me shout like y'all did last week. We ain't doing that. He comes to enlighten your mind. See, write this down. We're not going to go here. John 16 and 13. As a matter of fact, let's just turn there very quickly. John 16 and 13 in your Bibles. Go there very quickly. John 16 and 13. He comes to enlighten your mind. Enlighten your mind. See, when you get saved, that don't mean you turn your mind off. The Holy Spirit did not come in place of your mind. But he comes, oh God, this is going to help somebody, to enlighten your mind. Which means you can't say, I have the Holy Spirit, so I ain't going to school. I'm anointed. I don't need no training. Look what he says in verse number 13 of chapter 16. He says, Jesus talking to his disciples, same conversation that Luke was recording. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you, what? Into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. The Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters, is so truth conscious that he is always making our minds aware of truth. Jesus referred to him as the Spirit of truth, which comes to guide us. And he will always prompt you, sir. He will always, watch this, prod you, ma'am, of what the truth is in every situation. See, contrary to popular belief, the Holy Spirit doesn't come to disable your mind. But what he does come to do is to minister to your mind that you may discern all things. See, that's why you can't live just in the power of your mind. But you got to have the spirit over the mind that the spirit can begin to lead and guide your mind. Because some of you know, sometimes you can't even trust your own mind. Oh, God, y'all remember that song by the Ghetto Boys that say, sometimes my mind can play tricks on me. 30 and under, you'll get that. That sometimes your own mind will have you operating in fear. Your own mind will have you looking over your shoulder and peeping around corners, man, because your mind will start playing tricks on you. And see, what the Holy Spirit does is he simply wants us to place the spirit over the mind so he can direct us. Not just in church, but he's going to let you know whenever you need to know truth. Oh, yes, he will. Some of you, he's going to tell you this week. See, not all truth. That's what Jesus said. He will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit.